Good morning. Now, I know I'm treading on some building ice, so if there's laughter in the front right up here, you'll know I misspoke, really. So, all right, we're going to be talking about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And to begin with, I want to start at the end, because in the end, we see Jesus' picture of what he had envisioned for living this sermon. Jesus' words of the Sermon on the Mount we hold in very high esteem. They've been hotly debated as to what they mean, but debated instead of followed. That's as big a part as we face today, we need to follow. Jesus ends his sermon with this statement, this idea, he who follows will stand, he who doesn't will fall. And today, since we're starting at the end, the invitation is to do what Jesus says. That's the challenge for us, is do what he says. There's a lot to know, but it's also a lot of we need to do what we know. So let's go through the Sermon on the Mount with this new perspective of this is what Jesus wants us to do with our lives. Let's stop acting like the Sermon on the Mount is extra credit for those who want to go above and beyond. Let's stop looking at it as a legalistic rules of this is what you've got to keep, and more of seeking that this is the person that Christ exampled for us to live. By the grace of God, we're able to live that way. The Christian ideal to live by have not been tried and found wanting. Nobody's ever lived them and looked back and said, you know what? It wasn't what I thought it was, or what God promised, really. They've been found difficult and actually left just untried. We do actually find ourselves shocked hearing someone suggest that we do what the Sermon on the Mount says or what God says to do, because that seems too difficult to be able to accomplish. But this isn't the suggestions on the Mount. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And sometimes we treat them as that, as suggestions, really. We have to back up and change the question a bit. It's not, can you follow them perfectly? But we got to back up and ask, first of all, will we even try? Are we willing to try and do what Jesus says in his sermon here? Honestly, it could be applicable that some have not even tried, really. Have you ever met someone who started by reading the end of a book before they read the rest of the book? Odd, isn't it? Have you ever seen someone read a magazine from back to front before? It's a little quirky, and hopefully I haven't offended anyone yet. But why? There has to be a reason as to why there are some people who do that. Or to say from the start of a meeting, okay, today our goal is, and this is a bit of the normal thing of starting at the end result in view. It's said to ensure that the task gets done. And here's the thing, we're used to stories and other things being told, start at the beginning and work your way to the end, right? But today I want to start with, let's look at the end. Because the end of this sermon impacts how you read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. The foundation of the sermon is found at the end. And it's live these words to be wise. And I want us to go through, if we read that throughout this week of reading the Sermon on the Mount, or as we go through the rest of the study, to think of it as this is what Jesus wanted us to do. And imagine it this way. If you were building a home, what would be one of the first things that you would do? Probably and hopefully, the first thing you would do is picture the end result, what you wanted it to be at the end. Or at least for someone to have done that. To some extent, you have to come up with a blueprint of what the end result is to be. And Jesus gives that at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, and that is to be wise. When you decide to live a life for Jesus, you have to come to the understanding that Jesus expects you to live the way he says here. A solid, sturdy building like him, and it doesn't happen by accident. Jesus says, these are the things that you need to do. And it's not placed, the solid foundation is not placed there by accident. Each part is planned out and done right. What you choose can make it as strong and as sturdy as Gibraltar or as weak and falling apart as the stock markets. It's more than academic, it's the way that you live, it's what you do. we really want to get a sense of the picture of what did Jesus have in mind as to why he said, live these ways. And that is, he wanted us to be wise. In this section, we really get the question that arises, can you do this? Can you really live this way that Jesus talks about? Does Jesus expect you to shape your life around his Sermon on the Mount? Or did Jesus intentionally set this ideal that is set so high that no one can reach that expectation? Is the purpose on the Mount to convince you of how bad you are as a person? If you conclude that Jesus really intended you to live this way, then the Sermon on the Mount is a guide to practical living, the way that Jesus said. It shapes your day-to-day lives, and if you decide that it's just impossible, then it's simply a beautiful theory, and it does not do anything except tell you about the grace of God. So the question again is, can you do this? Do you really think that that's what Jesus intends for us to do, is to listen to his Sermon on the Mount? How many of you play chess? We're going to do a little interactiveness. How many of you have played chess before? I'm an amateur, really, at best. I found out a few things, but nothing to really make me all that great. I came across a book called How to Play Winning Chess. I thought, that's a pretty good book there. The author takes the whole first chapter talking about checkmate. We all, if you know anything about chess, you know that checkmate happens at the end. And his whole point is, you've got to start with the end game in mind. Where do you want to end up? Whenever I get to that point, I'm often thinking, I barely got any pieces left if I have any at all. But where do I want to end up? And that's why this time around, was looking at the Sermon on the Mount, I want to ask that question. Where is the end result in your mind of what do you come away with as this is what Jesus expects because of his sermon? To get that picture of where he wanted us to be, and when all is said and done, to be wise and building our lives on the wisdom that he has given us. And Jesus says the wise person is the one who says, hears these sayings and does them, puts them into action. And the foolish person is the one who hears them and doesn't do them. Interestingly, Jesus does not put any emphasis on understanding, but all on doing, really. Strange, isn't it? The Sermon on the Mount is not a material that you master in your mind, but something that you live in your life. And this is the crossroads of the teaching. Martin Luther is one of our great teachers that we look at, and we think he's the guy that we look at for our example. But he even was of the mindset of, this is Jesus' teaching to show you how little we are able to do, how bad of a person you are. And we look at him as a great person, but he disagrees with what Jesus says, and that's, Jesus says, the wise person does this. So the crossroads is, how are you going to read this Sermon on the Mount? As something Jesus said is a practical guide of living your life, or as just a way to show you how little you are able to do? Go ahead to the next slide. Having some technical difficulties here. So go back to the chess example here. Remember, you need to keep in mind the goal, the checkmate, the end result. Do you really think that this life is one to be lived? Do you really believe that Jesus expected you to do that? In this sermon, Jesus has dealt with many different topics and themes about what kingdom life is like. He's not saying this sermon that is what you must do to be saved, but what you do with your life after you've made that decision, once you're a part of the kingdom. And in chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus lays out these four sections of both warnings and decision points to make. He does this by contrasting two different ways. Really, in verse 13 through 14, he says, there are two roads. Next, he says, there are two trees, and he says, there are two claims, to follow or to claim that we follow. And then verse 24, what we're reading today, there are two builders. Which one are you? There's only two responses to the words that Jesus teaches. He lays out in the sermon, do, enter by the narrow gate, bear fruit, truthfully experience intimacy with Jesus, build your house on his solid foundation, or don't. enter through the broad way, don't bear fruit, have a false claim of knowing who Jesus is, and build your life on the sand. There's no middle ground here. It's no half commitments. How we respond to Jesus makes all the difference. So let's examine the builders. First, both builders heard the words that Jesus saw and demonstrated his power, really. This is the same group that Jesus had shown his casting out demons in the previous chapter in verse 24 and 25 to show that who he was. They had been around him enough time. They had heard his Sermon on the Mount because we're talking about the end, remember? They saw him heal people. And the point is that every person there heard the same thing. Every builder had the same information, the same materials. And the question was, which builder are you? You've heard the words. Now are you going to build on the foundation, or are you going to build on a non-foundation? It's easy to miss. And maybe there's something there that we disconnect about that here. It may be accurate that we are people who have heard but don't live our life according to what Jesus says. It may accurately be someone who's sitting in church services. They hear the lessons over and over, but they don't let it affect who they are. They may be listening, sorry about that, nodding their heads in approval, but go home and don't do. Go home and think, it's not so bad if I steal, as long as it's not something somebody will miss or it's not as expensive. Or go home and get angry with a coworker or a family member because how can they be so ridiculous? Or go home and think, it's okay to wish that you were with that hot someone that you saw at work or at the gym or wherever it may be. Or you go home and say, I promise I will, but you know, even at the point you make that promise, you have no intention of following through with it. This is the fool that Jesus describes, the one who hears, does in fact hear, but doesn't do what they hear. Second, both builders had a home to build. It's not a question of, are you building a home? It's, you are. What kind of home are you building? The metaphor is about the building of our lives. Each day, brick by brick, we are building a house. Each day, life decision by life decision, we are making. What are you building in your life? What are you building on? Question is, what foundation are you laying? Is it on Jesus and what he has said, or is it on what you think? It doesn't really matter what stage of life you are, if you're going to be married, single, have children or not, regardless of your age or level of maturity. Every person is building a home. And in this technical age of information, fast-paced living, there's many different ways you can build a home. But the big point of this lesson is, what foundation are you building on? Third, both builders will face storms in life. This is a part of the world where Jesus is preaching is mostly desert. And for most of the year, there's very little rain. But however, during the winter times, it was very common to experience periods of just complete monsoon sort of rainfall, to where if you don't have a foundation, the house is going to get swept away because the ground will be taken out from under it. So he bears this in mind, really, is everybody knows this. You got to build a sound home, not a big home, to start with. So the home you build in the spring, if not properly secured, it's not going to show until the storms come, till the trials come, till the difficulty comes. And then you can't change your mind after that. Once the storms come, you've got to live with what you got. The point he's making is that storms will come to both builders, but because of the ones who built on the foundation, on Christ, they're able to bear the storm. It's not that they love or enjoy the trials, but they're able to actually get through them. It's often taught today, and falsely so, that following Jesus will make life a bed of roses, that everything we do, he makes it easier. But how many of us can remember a time where we prayed for something and we didn't get it? Prayed for a family member and they passed on. Prayed for stuff that we absolutely needed for someone or something else, maybe even, and didn't get it. Jesus doesn't promise a life that's easy and everything just falls into place. His concern is getting you through the trials successfully. The lesson teaches that there will be many people who hear Jesus and say what he says, and remember, they do hear and yet still turn away. They would offer lip service to the teachings of Jesus, but not obedience. The results would be they would say, call Jesus Lord, Lord, saying, you're the Lord of my life, sort of to say. But that's all they did. There was no action to it. Really, they go home and their life is no different because of what they know now. And there's one adjective that Jesus uses to describe this builder, and he says, foolish. It's not a head problem, it's a heart problem. It's a moral problem. And to that, the person will often say, to silence the guilt within them, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. There is no, and there's nothing going to come and get me whenever life ends, really. There's nothing, no sad ending, really, in mind. So we say that in our minds so that we can say, you know what, it's nothing to worry about. We can eat, drink, and be merry to our heart's content because there's nothing bad going to befall us because of our actions. This is the one who hears and sees the words of Jesus and does not do them. But there are those who do listen. Those who hear and do are those who hear the words of Christ and decide, once for all, this is where I belong. This is where I need to be because this is what's going to get me through. This is what, at the end of life, is important. They embrace the narrow way because it's the road that leads to Christ. They're the ones who, because of their belief and faith, they imitate the one who purchased them. They live as Jesus showed and told them to live. When they say, Lord, Lord, it's not just an expression of what they think, but it's what they really are. They take up their cross and say, it's not about me, it's about Christ. This is the character of the wise builder. Another thing to notice is that one is built on a foundation. The other is built on a non-existent foundation, not a solid foundation. One dug deep until he hit bedrock, and the other put in just the priorities just to get the job done. What we are building our lives on matters immensely. Is there a foundation at all? Is the foundation Jesus? The foundation is alluded to are the words of Christ, living the way he has said. Jesus wants us to stake our lives upon his teachings that come because they always come through. Jesus' words, the Bible, is trustworthy and true because the author is trustworthy and true, and he's proven that to us through his word. But the foolish builder takes no notice of this. Haphazardly, he builds upon the sands. And what are the sands? The sands in this illustration, to the best of our knowledge, is the wisdom of man that we've come up with. It's amazing, really, the things that we put so much stock in human history. We oftentimes laugh and look back and think on our ancestors, how could they have ever thought this? How could they have ever thought that the world was flat? But we don't take any notice or thought that, what will our descendants look back and think, how in the world could they possibly think that? Every generation looks back and thinks they're the elite, they're the ones that have arrived, but do we ever think about what are our kids or our descendants really farther along going to look back and think, how could they have ever thought this was true? How could they be so foolish, really? And I want to speculate for a minute here. It's possible that a house built on the sands may have been more elegant than the one on the rocks, because you don't have to dig down so far, you've got a little extra money to embellish the house. So perhaps the house that was built on the rocks was a little cheaper material, maybe, but it didn't look as great. But does that matter as much as the house stands the test of time? The house stands whenever the trials come? Absolutely not. Why? Because the storms will come. For all the beauty, the elegance that is put into the house, if it doesn't have a solid foundation, it's not going to stand. It's not going to matter what it looks like on the outside. It's not going to matter how much money you have or how put together your life appears if on the inside it's really not, if it's really not about Jesus. The final analysis of what matters is what happens when the storm of life comes? What happens of what decisions you've made? In the spring, there's no discernible difference of what the foundation is like. But it's when the storms come that we notice, was it done well or not? The foolish builder builds on the shifting sands of man's wisdom, and when the hardships of life come, they fall because they had nothing to stand upon. So, everyone has a house to build. Every decision, every choice bears an eternal consequence. So, what am I building on? There's a rock to build on. God provided us with the gospel, His good news to build on. Am I building on the rock? God's people built their hope upon the rock. Examine yourself. Am I building my hopes and dreams on the rock, or am I building it on something else? Am I trusting in Christ for my salvation alone, or am I still trying to say, I'm going to believe in Christ, but I'm going to build something else over here just in case? Am I taking my cross and saying, God's way is more important than my way? Am I pursuing what is right by God's standards? There are many builders building on the sands, and Jesus says, many were on the easy path that leads to destruction. Are the shifting sands of man's wisdom what you're building on? Where do I go for wisdom? Do I go to God's word, or do I go to what we have come to conclusions about? And there are storms that will come and will try every man's work. Anyone saying that life is too easy has not really experienced those storms yet. There's trials every day that bring your attention to, am I building? I bring it into question. And then there's also the final judgment on the day when Christ comes back and says, you didn't build on the foundation. Does my reaction to the trials that happen in my life reveal that I am on God's solid rock, or am I building on the sands of what I think is right? There's a story, I'm not sure if it's true or not, about a guy in LA who got bored. He thought to himself that he would tie a bunch of balloons to his lawn chair so he could float up a few hundred feet. And he thought he'd tie, or so he tied down his chair with balloons connected to him, got some PB&Js to snack on, got a BB gun. He figured is that once he got bored again, he'd take some shots and blow a couple of the balloons so that he'd glide back down. Only thing was, he tied way too many balloons. As soon as he cut the rope, he went up, but not just a few hundred feet. He went up a few thousand feet. Needless to say, it took him a lot longer to get down. And by the time he had drifted into the landing pattern of the LAX airport. Can you imagine that, going up in a plane and seeing a man in a lawn chair with balloons? By the time he had came down, every reporter in LA was there. And they all asked the same question. And pardon my French here, how could you be so stupid? His answer was priceless. You can't just sit around. You got to do something. And this, as funny as that may be, is the truth of what Jesus is saying to us is, you can't just sit around studying stuff. You can't just sit around thinking about how profound these teachings are. At some point, you've got to do something about it. And so the good news is, and the truth is that Jesus says, you can. I believe you can. That's why I said it. That's why he taught it that way. Not only is it that this life should be lived, but not only is this a life that should be lived, but it should be lived the way that Christ talked about. At least, that's Jesus' opinion. So, have you heard the voice of discontent of living life and you look and think, what's it all for? Or, why does this not satisfy? The old way doesn't seem to cut it anymore, and it's time to move on to something that does work. And we've tried out our own things, but we think, you know what, that hasn't worked. I want to challenge you guys to try what Jesus says about the way life should be. And Jesus' challenge is, do what I talk about. See the vision of what I've said a wise life is. See the end result and see that it's worth it. The most devastating thing to do with Jesus' sermon is to think it's not possible. Jesus didn't really mean for it to be lived this way. It's too intimidating for me to think that I could do it. He's not trying to put you down or say, let me put a standard that's so high that this is what you have to do to be perfect, but you can't possibly do it. No, he's not. He's calling us into a way that can be lived. But we tend to say, oh boy, I don't think that's possible for me to do. But Jesus is saying, wisdom is found in the hearing and doing. Foolishness is found in the hearing and not doing. The sermon is not simply to be understood, it's a sermon to be lived. And Jesus, the one who calls you, empowers you, makes it available for us to do. This lesson is perhaps one of the simplest lessons, but one of the most difficult to do, really. The challenge is, do what I say. So this week, hopefully you guys will open up your books to Matthew 5 and read the Sermon on the Mount and ask that question, do I really think this is what Jesus wants me to do? Is this really the way that Jesus wants me to live? So that's the challenge today. Do you want to live the way that Jesus said? Are you tired of trying different things and finding they didn't work? Jesus says, follow me. I'll give you what's worth it in this life. That's the challenge for each of us. That's the invitation today. Live the way Jesus wants. And if you need the prayers of the church, during this next song is the time to do so, to tell us what we can do to pray for you. Or if you want to say today, I want to give my life to Jesus and say, he is the Lord, the leader of my life, you can do that during this next song. Please stand as we sing.